Deborah, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Victor. Thanks for having me.
So, Deborah, what are the threats to Australia's koala population?
Well, at the moment, of course, it's trees. If you cut down their trees, what happens is, you know, you destroy the whole social connection that they have. And maybe later on I can explain one of the koala colonies that I know well. And then if your trees cut down, so you've lost your house, you've lost your kitchen, you start roaming around, you get hit by a car or mauled by a dog, but many koalas just starve to death.
Yeah, and can you tell us a little bit about the koala conservation programs run by the Australian Koala Foundation and how they work?
Well, I've been in my job for 30 years, and so when I first started, I used to think that it would just be a question of educating people. You know, we need to protect the koalas and, you know, they're so important to tourism and all that. But very quickly I realised that unless you understand where the koalas are, where the habitats are, then you have to start saying, that's a habitat, we need to protect it. And in 1992 we started mapping, and it's taken us till this year to finish mapping the whole east coast of Australia. So on our website, savethekoala.com, you can actually see, you know, what $15 million worth of mapping looks like. And so koala's landscape is from like Cairns round to Adelaide. So it's a huge area, and 80% of that is privately owned. So what we do is encourage people who live on koala habitat to be really good custodians. And the hard part, and very frustrating for me, is that, you know, a lot of developers say, well, I own that land, I'm just going to clear it, I don't want any koalas or anything else on here, and we're just destroying our beautiful country. So 80% of Australia's koala habitat is gone, and I think it's being cleared at a faster rate now than I've ever seen in my whole career.
And is that awareness that you're trying to spread to those people, is that making any sort of a difference in your experience?
Oh, well, you know, sometimes when a new PR person starts and says, oh, I've never heard about this, I feel like I want to scream, because you think, we've been doing this for 30 years. Pretty much every listener, I think, would say, yeah, I know Don't Tree Me. When I was at school, I had that sticker or, you know, a tattoo or whatever. But what hasn't changed, Victor, is the political process, in that the laws of Australia at the moment, in my view, environmentally, are allowing industry to absolutely have carte blanche, and then the poor old koala misses out. And then I think in the minds of our political leaders, they think, oh, okay, we'll put them in a zoo. And then when the political leaders of the world come, like Mr. Putin and Mr. Obama, the first thing they do is put a koala in their hands. So, you know, we should be saying this is one of the most amazing species. All the species of Australia are. And I'm sure a lot of your listeners who live in the urban landscapes, but, you know, just think, the Opera House site was originally a koala habitat. Campbelltown still has koalas. Penrith still has koalas. Blue Mountain still has them. So as we urbanise, we just slowly go to extinction. So, you know, it's my hope that there will be new laws, a Koala Protection Act, to protect koalas, but unless the people get behind us, we'll never make it. And so I am hoping that people might look at our website, and we do have a koala army that they might like to join, and we can sort of say, this is what you could do to help the koalas, because it is, I think, at a critical time in history.
And what are some of those things that people can do?
Well, we don't take any government money, so one of the things that I feel like I'm a thorn in the politician's side is I think they wish I'd just go away and retire, but I'm not going to until I get a Koala Protection Act. So I think being aware is number one, and then thinking, you know what, I could tell my local politician I want to protect koalas. It takes courage, you know, and I think a lot of people have lost. I'm old enough to remember that, you know, if I have a problem, I will ring my local member and say, I think you need to get on top of this. I think a lot of people have lost that ability. But I think educate yourself first, and that's what the Koala Army does. It educates you. It educates you about being a better citizen of the planet, you know, recycling, war on waste. You know, I don't know if you saw that TV show, but we have to make a difference about how we go about our lives, and that will ultimately help koala habitat, because we won't be cutting it down to make stuff that we end up throwing away.
Yeah, and do we know what those population numbers are looking like at the moment compared to, you know, 50 years ago or so?
Yes, we do. We think that there's only between 40 and 50,000 koalas left, and that might sound a lot, but that is only 1% of the koalas that were shot between 1890 and 1927. So 8 million skins went to New York and London, and there was a huge fur trade. And so when we look at people who are, you know, killing things internationally, we did that 150 years ago. And so now it's less, it's more subtle. You know, in the old days you could say, right, we used to just blow them away. But now it's much subtler. You know, you clear the habitats, but the koalas just go away into the bush and die, and so no one's counting them and whatever, except for us. But yes, we have all that on our website, and that's why I'm still motivated to come to work every day, because the poor old koala has suffered so greatly over 200 years, like many other people and Aboriginal people. We have to really start rethinking how we're going to live into the future.
Yeah, and I think you've already touched on this, but what can people be doing to help the survival of our koala populations?
Well, you can join our koala army. It's Save the Koala Month this September. You know, maybe put a donation box in your workplace. Go on our website. We have merchandise. You can buy books. You can buy T-shirts, hoodies, all that sort of stuff. And all that money comes so that we can keep doing the science, doing the mapping, and for me to spread the word.
I did read on your website that you can't adopt koalas as pets, but hopefully people can do some of those things to help out the koala.
Yeah, that's great, Victor. Yes, adopting a koala is fantastic because, you know, you can think about, you can have it on the wall and you can think about it. And, yeah, we're very grateful for the adoption, so I'm glad you brought that up. Thank you.
Well, Deborah, thank you so much for joining us here on The Daily today.
Oh, I really enjoyed it. Thanks, Victor.